Hey, Uncle Weed, why don't you break out some of that private stash?
We listen to a show with Uncle Weed, with Little Bay, he's a nice guy, we come around, entertain, we make everything nice, we drink an overproof rum and everything is okay.
Jamaica, love, unity, strength, godliness, by no mass.
The smells are full of fruit. It smells like mangoes and papayas. It's got that rich sweetness.
Like fried plantain, like plantain porridge, like plantain in your door.
Well, you know, Mr. Maxwell, he came around with a soursop. It's a big, lumpy, kind of greenish yellow, thorny fruit. Man, like the size of like a melon, but it's all kind of mutated together. Like there's three kind of melons smushed, and it's all lumpy and weird. And it produces this milky, it almost tastes like a sour milk kind of juice. Mr. Maxwell, tall and lanky, the gardener around here, brings one by. I bought it from $100 Jamaican. That's 85 cents to you North Americans. And then our dear friend made it into this fantastic rum concoction. Vanilla, nutmeg, cinnamon, Jamaican rum. Oh, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. This project is going very well. The Jamaica scheme continues as various folks come by the back door to deliver us various things we put out the word for, right? You know, we put out the word from when, like the other night, we wandered down to Leroy's, a little at Fisherman's Beach. He's got like a little ramshackle bar there, and we went down there as our custom, and as he cranked Bob Marley right on the Jamaican beach as the sun's setting, and we're hanging out with locals and drinking the coldest Red Stripes I've had on island. We made it known that, yeah, man, we're looking for some lobster, we're looking for some fish. And, you know, like I said, man, it's like what they put down these traps. Whenever they bring up is what they bring up. And we put the word out that we're buying. So we got a 3-pound skipjack fish in the fridge now. Oh, it's silvery, and it's going to have some nice white fat meat on it. Oh, thick meat. Oh, and it's, it comes to you squirming, right? He's got the big tail fin, and it's like the short, compact, tropical kind of body rather than the long, lean bodies of the salmon. Oh, yeah. And then the word's always out for lobster. And this morning, just when you've given up hope, four beautiful lobster arrive. These Jamaican lobster, they don't have the big claws, right? They're like all tail. They're like a big, juicy, tasty tail. And then they're like a little spaceman head and all their little spaceman arms and stuff, because they've come clearly from another planet, because they can't be of this world. And, you know, in the front half and the head and the arms, there's a little bit of meat in there, but, man, it's mostly just like one big, get in my belly. All right. So it's one of these things about Jamaica that you kind of put the word out, and everything's like locally sourced. So if you're like one of these 100-mile diet kind of, like, you know, you want to know the providence and the pedigree of your food, like, it really fits here, right? Because, like, everything, you can pretty much track back pretty easily where it came from. We're getting local eggs, local chicken, and, oh, scrambled eggs. How do they taste this much better with just different eggs? Oh. And we learn all about how the chickens and the various animals are raised, and even the chickens, you know, they're fed all the scraps, so they're eating good, healthy food all throughout there. And everything's free range. I mean, you know, it just goes without saying, right? And then leading up to before they're slaughtered, they feed them molasses for a week to kind of give them a nice layer of juicy fatness and fatten them up towards the end. And then for last week, they feed them, put aloe vera juice in their water. So it kind of clears out all their system and, you know, makes whatever they're doing. Oh, the jerk chicken, the huge slabs of pork, jerk pork. Anywho, so while I'm thinking about it, a few random field notes about Jamaica and things you'll come across.
I need a
know, I haven't noticed a lot of street musicians in Jamaica, which I don't know, and I haven't really been in, you know, towns or even large villages enough to really notice, but there's recorded music playing all over, but I thought you'd see just sort of ubiquitous live music everywhere, and that hasn't been the case. I've heard that the music industry in Jamaica is very tightly controlled. I don't know what that means. But even just seeing dudes on, like I thought they would be, you know, people with buskers would be exploiting the Jamaican music culture a little bit more, and I would have noticed guitar pickers and bongo players and so on, or people just hanging out on the beach having a drum circle or playing music, but I haven't found that at all. But all over the place you hear the Jamaican radio, and it's really unique because it ducks and peaks over on top of the recorded tracks, and it's like rather than letting the song play, they're kind of popping up and talking in amongst it, and you hear bits and pieces because they're talking about an event or talking about some banter, and the banter and the music sort of get remixed again into something completely new, you know, and the music is oftentimes a remix from something else, and he's and there's a lot of repetition, and the guy at the mic, man, is almost adding another layer of artistry to the thing. It takes a little while to get used to, but it's there's something that feels very uniquely crackly Caribbean shortwave radio about the whole experience of listening to it.
What's your name?
My name's Uncle Weed, man.
Uncle Weed is hanging out. Mr. Weed is hanging out.
Uncle Benji in a yard, she don't wanna stone. Wife and pick me gone abroad, left him all alone.
What you'll learn about Jamaica should you come across this place is that there's always people around. There's always people, you know, like it feels remote and primitive, but people are all like constantly out and about and tending to things, man. You know, like people are laid back, but people are hustling, people are getting stuff done. They may be doing it at a different pace or a different routine than you're accustomed to, but everyone's got something on the go, right? They're collecting something, they're reselling something, they're on the look for something, and you know, everyone's got a little project. Everyone's raising something, someone's making a batch of goats over here, or someone's raising a few cows over there, and they figure out their own little microeconomy.
Bongo natty, don't worry, a course, I sell rose can. Him no check, the festival make the float them go on.
But you're never alone. People are always up to something. There's people, because everything's growing, everything needs, something needs to be cut back, or something needs to be cleaned up, or and there's a feeling that once you make friends with your locals, right, you know, and you get into a community, people totally look out for you, right? People are putting the word out saying that, hey, treat my people right here, you know, like introducing you around. And the world travels fast when there's not too many other travelers around, right? So that's... People look out for you, and people got a big heart once you get to form a relationship with them.
Getting professional. Handy tips for tokers on the go.
You know, like I've been going on about how this whole island feels like a big heaving alive mass, and everywhere you look there's some kind of creatures. Now that we've been here on the north side of the island, a few other new creatures to add to the list, including mongoose. Now, the mongoose was brought here to get the rats and the snakes out of the sugarcane fields, because the rats and the snakes would obviously infect the thing and get people sick and so on. And the mongoose did such a good job that there's no snakes left on Jamaica, which is kind of funny because on the island of Guam, there's no birds because of the snakes, right? Some snakes came aboard, bam, they're brown tree snakes, they eat bird eggs, no more birds on Guam. Here there's no more snakes because of the mongoose. And also there's hardly any rats, which I would suspect is a good thing, because rats, you know, like, I know they're just gerbils with a bad PR agent, but, you know, they carry disease, man, and they're trouble. So I suspect that's a good thing. However, there's all these mongoose, and there's too many mongoose. I don't know what too many mongoose do or what the downside of that is. Mongoose, they're like ninja squirrels, right? They're like, they're more long and slender, and they're just quick-moving, stealth, rat-eating machines, right? But they kind of look like a squirrel, but squirrels are gentle nut-eating creatures, and mongoose are feared sniper killers, right? So, but from our vantage point, they just look like long squirrels.
and keep you alive. So not the booze alone, the weed keep you alive.
Fireflies amuse me to no end, and they're all over the place here. Looking out from the patio over the water and seeing the fireflies dancing around under coconut palms, these short little mutant hobbit coconut palms. Oh man, like I don't get bored of that at all. I don't bother trying to chase them down and put them in jars, man. They got a big jar like all in front of me, right? And then bats. The bats dive bombing to catch the mosquitoes. Need more of those bats, man, because the mosquitoes I'm just about done with. Whew. But just everywhere you're driving, you see, the goats and the cows and the donkeys. They're just strolling. They're just become sort of part of the scene. Now, it's not like in India where the cows stop the traffic and they're just there. The cows are sort of under some sort of loose control or whatever, right? And the goats are used to clean up yards and clear brush because the brush just grows. But I don't see the people using goat milk. Goat cheese and so on. I think the goats are mostly just raised for their tasty meat and served in times of feasts or something like that, because it's just not a super common food. Now here on this beach, we're seeing tons of a different kind of crab. They're about a little bit bigger than a silver dollar, maybe, and they're white and they run sideways on the beach. Down in Lickle Bay, we saw a bunch of different kinds of crabs, but there's a new one because there's no shortage of crabs. Jump a little bit. Notice a lot of civic pride, and you know, like everywhere you go, and people are like, "I'm proud to be a whatever." But Jamaicans are self-aware of who they are as a country, and they're also acknowledge the fact that they have an underutilized potential, because they know they're better known than the size of them. I mean, it's not a big country, right? Not a big island, but you compare them to like the Dominican or Turks and St. Kitts or something like, or the Bahamas. You know, Jamaicans have a lot of history and a lot of notoriety behind themselves, and people are proud of being Jamaican and who's Jamaican. They know all their parishes. They want to point out the villages. And then you'll come across things like, dudes kind of waving. You'll be driving along and there's a bunch of dudes like waving cars down and got tin cans out, and they're trying to collect money to fix a pothole. They basically like, the government ain't going to do it, so we'll just take it in our own hands and adopt this pothole and take donations and then actually make some concrete and fix it up there. Because then government trucks come by, they'll dump some dirt in it, but like it won't stay or whatever, right? All right. Now, speaking of politics, like, there's a lot of cynicism about voting and the political system and how the government's corrupt, and from the stories I hear, that's certainly the case. You know, they're on the watch list of the International Monetary Fund. Their currency is, been devalued to almost a comedic point, right? And it's like there's so much potential and so much natural resources and so much human potential here that I think the people realize that the government doesn't represent what they're capable of, right? Their country would need a little bit of political leadership and political inspiration, because there's huge talent here and huge natural resources. But people are cynical about voting. There's a lot of violence associated with around the elections, but at the same time, everyone's very aware of it. You know, like when you're in a cab ride or out at a bar or whatever, right? The news comes on and people pause and listen and like turn up volume and pay attention to the news of the day. And it's kind of funny because after hearing Jamaican patois all the time, suddenly the news is read in this sort of like hybrid British Jamaican elfin English that sort of stands out and as it catches you up about like what's going on with the various parties, and everyone pauses to listen, and everyone's aware. 22 years old. is a lot of churches in Jamaica. It seems like every subset of Christianity, evangelical, Pentecostals, and like every little, you know, whatever subset of Christendom and its derivatives have established a little fiefdom here. And there's a lot of churches in Jamaica, and the women and the children especially go to church every Sunday, it seems. And I think that's probably viewed more as a way to keep folks in line and give them a routine, give them some sort of discipline, because they don't see religion pushed on people around. But you certainly notice a lot of churches, and on Sunday things were a little bit different, man. Things are shut down, and the churches as a result have a lot of kind of political power.
Oh, you don't want to miss it, man.
Speaking of language, you know, like Jamaican, the patois is really just it's a remixed version of English, really. I mean, it's changing consonants. It's like a shorthand version that's sort of turned into its own language of its own. There's lots of, like, two T's will become two K's, little will become lickle, you know, bottle will become bickle. And putting words in different orders, making them shorter, it's a lot like the same way you would do in SMS text speech or something like that. But this is a dialect that's evolved over generations, and you have to try really hard to know what's going on. You can pick up little bits and pieces here and there, but it's the point where it's really a unique language of its own. However, in school, they do all the schooling in proper English, and all the young kids will switch to proper English to talk to you, and people sort of mix up this hybrid and whatever, but it's quite a language to behold. And as you'd expect, throughout the island there's different sub variations on that, and sure, from country to city and east to west and so on. But it's something unique, and a little bit like when it reminds me of New Orleans, and you're hearing the Creole, because it's a musical, jumping, lively language.
That go marching the road with the float. So she stop, she go, she stop. She stop, she go, she stop, she go.
All right, another one of my missions here in Jamaica was to pick up some Jamaican music mixes. Now, I was under the impression that 45 vinyl 45s were still commonly produced here, and that's how a lot of the music consumption. I haven't found that to be the case, but what I have found is that you don't find record stores with, you know, CDs or whatever, right, to buy. You per se, you find little shops, little kiosks who have catalogs that almost look like a karaoke binder, right? And you say, I want that one, that one, that one. They just burn them up for you and charge you between $1.50 and $3 a piece for them. And in some cases, when we were staying down in Little Bay, there was a kid who heard we were in town that was, we were looking for some music, and he stopped by one night and showed us his binder. He didn't have a lot there, but we stopped another place with help from a cabbie in Negril, and went in, just picked a quick 8 CDs out of a binder. He burned them up and paid him $20, and we got some new mixes for here. So it's kind of a weird music consumption culture. I'm not sure if that's how it is all over Jamaica, but definitely finding some things just by pointing at some new choices, finding some nice stuff. She wants to go, she wants to walk and she wants to run. She wants to go and she wants to go. She wants to lava lava do shukwa. Yeah, she wants to be a performer.
I would go see if I could be a shark now.
But she got to be with the people. That's what's happening in the bar down the road.
So where does that
stop? She go, she stop.
I would go see if I could be a shark. She stop, she kind of fire.
She stop, she go. She stop, she go, she stop, she go. Hey, stop and go. That you dancing. What you doing? I ain't so jumping.
Yeah, you're gonna catch one.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That you dancing.
Another field note about Jamaica. Jamaicans don't swim. You know, some island cultures, they're constantly in the water. Everyone's a swimmer, everyone's a diver. That is not the case here in Jamaica. You'll see Jamaicans get in the water on festival days, but it's usually just wading, you know, going up you know, a little past the knees, maybe up to the waist, but never above, man. You'll see, you know, the local fishermen and a few local divers here, like the spearfishers I saw this morning, and they're out, you know, obviously they know what they're doing. But in general, the little kids don't know how to swim. Just the folks, it's just something you don't do. The sharks in Deadwater, they say, you know. And then there's all kinds of folklore. A friend was telling us about, like, something's going to bite your dink or bite your boob, right? And so they sort of... and then also there's just, you know, there's a lot of church-going folk, right? And church-going folk don't like to show a lot of skin. So you'll see people down at the beach, regular Jamaican folk, right? You know, not really wearing swimwear per se. Now, there's a whole other beach culture and all that kind of goes on in the other world. But regular Jamaican folks, no, not too many of them are swimmers. About Jamaica, Mariah Carey is like the David Hasselhoff of Jamaica. The people here love Mariah Carey and Celine Dion, and it creeps me out a little bit, I will say, because there's so much fantastic music here. But they do love those, they do love them lady crooners, those lady crooner divas here in Jamaica. I will do my best to investigate this topic no further. Another note about Jamaica is there's a lot of Canadian connections here. Everyone knows folks from Canada from tourists or whatever, right? But everyone has some relatives, and sure enough, there's a lot of immigration into Toronto area, for sure, and everyone seems to have a friend in Brampton. So what's with Brampton? It's the unofficial home of cold Jamaicans, I guess. Reminds me a little bit of Portugal in that there's a lot of Portuguese working folk that go to Ontario and settle in these communities like that and build out their own expat associations and communities, always keeping that eye back to the homeland, both financially as well as you know, culturally. A wee update after observing the mongoose in its natural habitat more thoroughly. The comparison to squirrel isn't as accurate as a comparison to a ferret or some kind of small land otter. They're long and skinny and move quickly with little tiny legs, so I reckon the reason they're so successful catching rats and snakes is both their quickness as well as their long shape that allows them to enter places that generally rats and snakes may inhabit. This is my observation. You know, for me, education and transportation are like the hallmarks of a progressive and worthy society. I mean, these things demand a lot of focus, right? Because with transportation and infrastructure, goods and humans can move around. And with education, there's no limit to how you can grow a society. As soon as you start rolling back on these things, things stagnate and can't grow, and there's no one to get you out of the situation because no one's got the thought process to do it. So for me, you know, education is really important, and seeing the youngsters in their school uniforms all flocking out to school every morning, and seeing the schools on the side of the road, and it looks like they make them fun places to go to. Now, I'm only saying for that because I saw people getting snacks. There's a little kind of snack booth outside. They're loading them up on buses. The kids all got their matching uniforms. You know, there's play areas and whatever, right? But it seems like school is, the young kids realize that there's a big difference now between if you have an education or not. And this is only something that's coming generationally maybe in Jamaica. But the kids that I was getting to know here, they would be at school sometimes till 9 o'clock at night and making a long trek home on the back of motorcycles in their little uniform and doing homework. And, you know, I got the chance to hang out with a lot of families and have quite a few kids. And they're all doing their homework, diligently doing the stuff like school kids any other place. So that was pretty inspiring to see, because there is so much human potential here that the education is the can opener to let that goodness out, right?
Mmm, now that's some dank stash.
Alright, now explain to you that everyone in Jamaica has a nickname. It's usually given to them by their parents when they're young. It's something about their early childhood characteristics, right? And everyone uses them. They call them aliases rather than nicknames, but everyone's got an alias. Some people's aliases sound like a little bit like maybe they gave them to themselves, and you know, like the Rastas have their aliases. So I'm not sure how those are entirely associated, but it's one of these things where everyone's got 2, 3, 4 different names, it sounds like people are calling them.
Well, it's time for a toke on the porch.
Let us give thanks and praise to the Father for guiding us through 25 years of independence.
Give thanks and praises, we are 25.
Though the road was rocky and the hills were steep, still we survived. We put the faith and trust in the Father, who's keeping us alive.
So give thanks and praises, we are 25.
Like anyone in counterculture scenes, you brush up against or come up and participate in Rastafarian culture from time to time. And you don't know how pervasive Rasta culture is in Jamaica from the outside. And, you know, it seems like so many, you know, Rastafarians are visible folk, right? So so a lot of times you think of the red, green, and gold, you know, the Ethiopian flag colors that are associated with Rastafarianism, as the colors of Jamaica as well. That's definitely not the case here, man. You know, you see the red, green, and gold, but not near as much as the black, gold, and green of the Jamaican flag. And you see those colors all over the place. And even Bob Marley is associated more with Jamaica than Rastafari, maybe. But, you know, the Rastafarian culture is here, but it's just not the overwhelming impression of Jamaica that it sort of feels like to the view of Jamaica from outside the island, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it's here, but it's not as much a here as it is elsewhere. Well, that doesn't make any sense, but you know. You're going to end up riding a lot of cabs. And, you know, there's other ways to get around the island. But really, when it comes down to it, cabs are what you're doing. But you got to kind of think of cabs as hiring a driver rather than getting a cab ride, right? Because these cabbies, they'll kind of like have your back when you're out and about. So inevitably, at some point, you'll have to go into a town and do some business, go visit some machine or tend to something. And having a cabbie around who can make sure that no one's hassling you, shaking you down or anything like that can be real handy. Plus, if you get the right dude who's kind of savvy to what you're up to, they'll take you from place to place, take you on a little space cruise, take you to like their favorite jerk chicken stand on the side of the road rather than, you know, you trying to tell them where you want to go and they're like, you know, they're like, fuck man, I'm not your tour guide, right? These dudes, they'll kind of like, you know, cruise with you, hang out, even hold your stash for you because, you know, you don't want to be doing that when you're out and about. So make sure when you get a good cabbie, you keep track of them and you tip them well. Your cab's going to be one, you know, like cab rides are like are not cheap, right? Because gas is like $6.50 a gallon here. The roads are brutal. The cost of operating a car is absurd. And so, you know, it's going to be expensive, but like, just deal with it, because a good driver, man, a good driver's got your back.
So give thanks and praises. We are 25. Though the road was rocky and the hills were steep, still we survived. We put the faith and trust in the Father. He's keeping us alive. So give thanks and praises. We are 25. So put your hand in the ear and praise him. For a pretty little island, praise him. For the loving nation, praise him. Let all the people praise him. Go down on your knees and praise him. For the pretty little children, praise him. For our national heroes, praise him. Let all Jamaicans praise him.
All right, a couple topics. I mentioned going into the market in Falmouth. And I mentioned the chaos and the splendid chaos of the market. I'm really realizing you're in a developing country kind of at that point, because it was pretty ramshackle, and dudes with, you know, young folk with machine guns, and people selling panties and fruit you don't recognize, and so on. But the other thing that's going on in Falmouth is cruise ship docks. You're on the north side of the island. As I mentioned, it's sort of a little bit more developed in terms of tourism, it seems to me, you know. But they got some cruise ship docks here to bring in, that are like the big ones, so you can bring in the massive cruise ships. And then they come into Falmouth, and they're in port for just like the day, kind of 9 to 5 kind of thing. So folks can get off, go take a tour. There's some waterfalls, go over to James Bond Beach, even go up to 9 Mile, the Bob Marley birthplace tour, probably something like that. And just kind of get off the boat, go explore a tiny little bit of Jamaica for a day, and or go check out this little town. And so the town's made an effort to kind of make a little town square, but it's the proportions of everything are so skewed, because the cruise ship that was in port the day we were there was just, the thing was, I mean, beyond scale, right? Like, and the city sort of dwarfed at the, you know, beside this boat, and this boat pulls right up, unloads the tourists, and they go right into this little town square and overwhelm it. And there's all sorts of little roads that pop up, stores selling, you know, hats and flags and other tourist tchotchkes. But the cruise ship industry is a strange one. In some ways, cruise ships seem like a good solution, because you prevent excess development and resources on land, except cruise ships themselves are resource-hogging conveyance, as well as insulating people from culture. So I'm a little bit skeptical about that whole thing as both an economic development driver and a environmentally sustainable way of tourism. But, you know, maybe there's something I'm missing in the equation. We get a lot of this cruise ship tourism coming through BC, but the scale of the boats isn't nearly that size, and they're primarily bound for Alaska, but... And I hear concerns about the waste dumping and the amount of resources consumed. For me, it just sort of seems like there's no soul and adventure in taking a cruise. It's all convenience and excess, you know? I don't know. I've never been on one. Tell me what you think. Okay, next topic is the Prime Minister and the land sold to Spain for development for a dollar. So this Prime Minister, in the name of economic development, sold a premium chunk of state-owned land along the beach to a group of Spanish developers for a dollar, and trumpeted his success at bringing this foreign investment into Jamaica. Shortly thereafter, he quit and paid cash for a villa, $50 million villa in France, or something like that, so the story goes, and just quit office. So his party needed to elect a new leader. And this just happened just the other day. And so here's what I found out. First of all, there's two main parties in Jamaica. Jamaican Labor Party and the... what is it? People's Party. Something People's Party. Democratic People's Party. Anyway, One's slightly more right of center, the other one's more left of center. But what they both miss out on is that they're supposed to represent all of Jamaica, and instead whoever gets in power just does favors for their own cronies and boosters, and the other side gets neglected and abused, and it goes back and forth and swings in power. One party's been in power for a significant period of time, but the elections are usually marked with significant amount of violence and shootings. And what I learned is that that really comes from the bases, the political party bases. These are the people who will never change their allegiance from party to party. And that's the way that our family's always done it. So this is people mostly coming from the ghettos, and they put on basically these rival gangs. And there's places in Kingston where apparently there's a dividing line. Like, this is JLP area, and this is whatever area, and never shall you cross over at pain of bad situations or whatever, right? So. So basically the system's got everyone pretty cynical about it, but there's now a feeling that about getting the youth vote out, because there's so many young people in Jamaica, if you can get them involved, and they're not coming to the table with all these preconceived notions and prejudice about parties and so on, and they want to do things that are right for the country. So party has to elect a new leader. They bring in this young fella named Holness. And he is 39 years old, former education minister. So he's a youthful leader who's now in charge of the country. It's a parliamentary system, so they can call an election. They have to call an election every 5 years. And you want to do that at a time when you're popular. So over the last few days, I've been reading about his cabinet appointments, about his kind of statements. It's not these big visionary, we're going to fix everything statements, but it's really pragmatic advice about getting Jamaica's spending and budget under control. Because what's happened is, when the rest of the world went through kind of this hyper-growth in the late 80s, early 90s, Jamaica really didn't. It just sort of stayed still. At the time, 20 years ago, the U.S. dollar was maybe 24 to 1. Now it's 85 to 1. And Jamaica just didn't really go through a growth spurt, right? And now this kind of gotten into this trap with the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, who keeps loaning money under the auspices like, oh, it's going to help improve education and infrastructure, which is then going to raise your ability to raise your GDP and all that. But right now they're borrowing more than 30% more than their entire gross domestic product right now, right? So now they're borrowing to pay back. So the IMF has got them in this crazy recursive loop. And instead of the country growing with this investment from the IMF, it's been squandered away in all sorts of ways, political cronyism, misuse, misappropriation. And now someone's got to pay off this huge bill, this huge legacy. And this young Mr. Holness is charged with this task coming into office. Speculation they'll probably call an election pretty soon so he can get his own mandate. There's a lot of excitement and enthusiasm around him right now, and people are eager for a change here. So we'll see what happens with his prospects.
Ooh, now there are some smelly nuggets.
Then everything will be sweet, sweet, sweet. Corn and yam, banana too. And I will stop the war with you. If them a dreadlock, run, they make them come. If them a ballad, run, they make them come. If them a screw face, run, they make them come. Run them, run them, run them, make them.
But that was down the south side of the island, which feels a little bit more Bob Marley, a little bit more rootsy, a little bit more country side for sure, where we were down. It's the rocky headlands on the leeward side of the island, and these rough bays with the waves pounding in. A little bit more Jimmy Cliff and Rockers, where up here on the north side is these long sandy beaches. We're looking north, so we're not getting the dramatic sunsets and sunrises, and or sunrise, depending on which side you're on. But we have this long, gentle, white sand beach and nary a soul about, right? And it feels a little bit more Jimmy Buffett on this side if it's Bob Marley on the other side. And that's not, this feels a little bit more, It looks, it feels a little bit more appropriate for rum drinks on this side of the island, where the other side, man, it feels a little bit more space for consciousness and exploring your mind with a spleef in hand. But that's just my brief observations at this point.
You've been chewing along with Uncle Weed's Wild Highness.
But of course, the creature of the trip for me so far has been the magical wasp that has imbued upon me his powers.